through the ups and downs of life that God has been with them and that their story and God's story has intersected. And today we had a couple of people prepared to share. One is Christian Carrasco and also Yusef. And Yusef wasn't able to be here today because he got called into work at the last minute. Dulce, who is Christian's wife, is going to also share today. So I'm going to ask her to come now.
Good morning. Happy New Year. So I just want to give you my testimony of what God has done in my life, how I came to know Jesus. I basically grew up going to church every Sunday. I believed in God, but I didn't know him personally. I didn't know you could have a relationship with him. And I was a high achiever in school. I earned academic scholarships, which enabled me to attend college. I was very self-motivated and a hard worker. By the time I was in my mid-20s, I was so proud of where I was in life. I felt fulfilled by everything I achieved with my intellect and my strength and my hard work. I was independent, living in sunny and exciting Miami, Florida. I had a great paying job as a physical therapist, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I bought a townhouse, a car, I even got a dog, which I always wanted. But over time, the excitement of checking off all these goals for my life wasn't producing happiness anymore. I sensed something was missing. Something was wrong. On the outside, everything looked perfect, but on the inside, I felt alone, and I began having anxiety attacks and became depressed. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I tried to shake it off. I began exercising and running every day after work, followed by partying and drinking every weekend. My depression then became worse after a failed engagement to a man I had only known for 4 months. One of my patients at work even suggested antidepressant medication, but my doctor thankfully refused to give me a prescription. Instead, she recommended a psychologist, whom I started seeing weekly. But I kept asking myself, why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. I help people for a living as a physical therapist. Why is God unhappy with me? I became so desperate, I thought, well, let me try to win God's favor. Since the psychologist wasn't enough, I sought counsel from the priest at church. I started putting more money in the offering plate. In addition to going to church on Sundays, I took classes and went on a retreat. Again, I found myself working hard to dig myself out of this situation, but it wasn't enough. That void would not go away. After about 3 or 4 months, when my depression was not getting any better, I started to wonder, does God really exist? What is the purpose of my life? Is it worth living? Then one day at work, I had lunch with another physical therapist, and she shared her testimony with me. And the first time in my life, for the first time in my life, I heard God's plan of salvation. And I instantly knew that Jesus was the answer I had been searching for. I was born again by God's grace on May 17th, 2001. That was the day I received Jesus as my Savior. That day, my friend also shared with me that God had answered her prayer. She was waiting for the opportunity to witness to someone and prayed specifically that someone would ask her how she met her husband. And that was the question that I asked her that day. That was not a coincidence, that was God. And I remember asking her so many questions, and she told me the only thing I needed to do was to get to know God. by reading the Bible. So we went to the bookstore together because I had no idea where to start. And she helped me pick out a Bible. And to be honest with you, I couldn't stop reading it. I was on fire for God. And I shared the little that I knew at the time with anyone that would listen. After about a month, my hunger for God led me to start attending a Bible teaching church, and that's how my journey with God began. A lot has happened since then, many changes in my life little by little, and as I look back, I'm grateful for God's power, which has delivered me from a self-centered and works-based mentality to a God-dependent life. He is faithful. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are being called according to his purpose. Thank you.
Hi guys, my name is Christian. Let me move this just a little bit too. I'm a sound guy too, so. My name is Christian. And I wasn't always a Christian. I'm originally from Peru. My family immigrated to the U.S. when I was a young kid. So I'm going to share my life with you guys and share what the power of the Bible, how powerful it's been in my life in transforming me and changing me and molding me, and how God speaks to me through the Bible. We moved when we first moved back in the late 70s to the U.S., we moved to Miami, Florida. And I grew up in a time that was really tough. It was pretty crazy. But basically, everything you saw in Miami Vice and Al Pacino movies and everything you saw on TV, I was living in real life as a young kid. It was a really crime-driven city, and at the same time, we were very poor. I grew up in an alcoholic home where alcohol and drugs were abused, and even the family and friends around me were abusing it. And so as a result, I ended up going to 12-step programs for families of alcoholics and went through that, and that helped a little bit. But as I became an adult, through all the bad influences, I eventually went in the same paths. In my early adult life, I was a DJ and partied a lot and just was trying to run away from all this, facing all these problems that I had, and I just wanted to party and do that. Eventually, I got into technology, and I made a career of that, and as a result, I had more money, which eventually fueled the party lifestyle even more. What had been once a week or a couple times a week was multiple times a week, and that was basically my life with drugs and alcohol and just really spiraling out of control. At the same time, any inkling of faith that I had, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and any inkling of faith that I may have had in that time or belief in Jesus was completely abolished and removed from my life. I thought the Bible was irrelevant for modern times. I thought it had nothing to do with what we were presently experiencing in life. It contradicted itself. It was full of errors. The devil didn't really exist. He was just a sorry excuse for man to blame his irresponsibilities. Basically, everything that I had heard from the world that about the Bible was what I was saying. And so and then I realized, all right, so I have these philosophies, but I have this crazy party lifestyle. I really have to stop that. My life is spiraling out of control. My friends around me were spiraling out of control. And I decided to stop cold turkey. I knew I could go to 12-step program, so I did. I went to this 12-step program, try to get sober and get my life together. Even then, I was still lost. I still was hurting. I was still miserable, right? And around that same time, I met a girl who had just gotten saved, and she had started walking with the Lord, and she started witnessing to me, and we eventually started dating. But I hated Christians, and I hated the Bible, and I had such a hard time with it because it got in the way of my sin. It's really, at the end of the day, that's what it was. And so, anybody who was a Christian, I would push away, and, strangely enough, I ended up falling in love with a Christian. But as she would quote scripture to me, I couldn't refute it. I would even close the Bible and throw it away and say, get this out of here, tell me what's in your heart. Don't tell me what this, old book tells you. And then she eventually invites me to a Bible study, and a light bulb goes up, and I'm like, great, I'm going to go study the Bible so I can prove it wrong to her. And that's what I did. I went and I started going. And for months, actually, a couple of months, I went and I tried to study the Bible and prove it wrong to her. And I couldn't. I would read the Bible and I couldn't. But I didn't want to give in. I didn't want to. I wanted to be right. I wanted to live in my sinful lifestyle. I didn't want to accept what the Bible was telling me was wrong. And so she eventually dumped me. And rightly so. I wouldn't want my daughter or a friend to date a guy like me back then. You know, it's a so a little time passes by, and I'm watching TV, watching a show, and there's this movie comes on, and there's this guy who's preaching, who's talking to the world and saying, yeah, the Bible is wrong, it's full of errors, it's not relevant to modern times, it's contradictory, the devil doesn't exist, and it's a sorry excuse for man to blame his problems on. And I was like, great, somebody thinks just like I do, awesome. You know, he's legitimizing who I am and what I'm thinking. And that guy turns out to be the Antichrist. And I'm like, whoa, okay, God. You know, so, you know, I kind of brush it off and move on. And I watched another show, and it was very similar. Same pattern, same story. The guy turns out to be the son of the Antichrist. And I'm like, okay, I just freaked out. I was like, God, what are you saying? I was like, are you saying that the beliefs that I have are satanic? Are they from the devil? I don't even believe in the devil. How could this be true? You know, if you are real, show me. And I walk outside of my house, and right in front of my house, there's police, there's an ambulance, and there's people standing around. And I ask them, what happened? And they tell me, somebody just got stabbed in front of your house, and they stole their car. And at that very moment in time, I heard God speak to me. And he said, is this from me or from the devil? And I said, I believe you. And I'm sorry for my lies. Also, I'm sorry for the lies that I believed. I had been deceived. And at that very moment, I felt a physical transformation. I felt like a veil was lifted from my eyes. I could see, finally, how deceived I had been by the world. And God just, it was like I could see in HD. And it was awesome. It was just life-changing. So the first thing I do is I run upstairs, and I call my ex-girlfriend. I tell her, hey, guess what? You know, I watched this show, and this happened, and that happened, and I went downstairs, and this happened, and God talked to me, and I believe in him, and I think all his Bibles, it's real, and everything is going on. And she's like, well, that's awesome. Thanks. Goodbye. You know? And so she basically thought that I was trying to get back with her and just telling her lies. And so the next thing I do is I pick up the phone, and I call the church that I had gone to study the Bible. And so I pick up the phone, and I talk to them, and there's this lady who picks up the phone, and she says, how can I help you? And I'm like, I need to talk to the pastor. I need to get saved. I want a meeting with him right now. And I need to say the sinner's prayer. I thought that's what I had to do. In reality, I had already confessed and accepted Jesus and the Bible previously, but I thought I had to, because I had seen this, you know, everybody said a sinner's prayer and they got saved. And she was telling me, well, the pastor is out of town, but the associate pastor is here. And I'm like, I don't want number two. I want number one. And no offense, Vinny, but I'm like, fine. She convinces me. We go back and forth, and I eventually have a meeting with number two. And he leads me in the Lord. He teaches me about the Bible, and ends up mentoring me, actually talking to me and showing me the scripture. And I ended up reading the Bible. I started reading the Bible all the time. And eventually I ended up reading it every day. Around that time, my ex-girlfriend saw that it was real, and we started dating again. And this time it was a Christ-centered relationship. We really were trying to honor the Lord. We started reading the Bible together. We said, we're going to read this Bible cover to cover. And it started to transform our life. He started to talk to us. He started to show us all the truths in the Bible. So then one night I'm sleeping, and I wake up, and God wakes me up, and I'm like, okay. I had this urgency to just kneel down and pray, and so I kneel down and I start praying. God, speak to me. What is it that you want to tell me? And I hear the word homestead again, just like previously I had heard from him. I heard from him again, and he said homestead. And I'm like, okay, there's a city in Homestead. I even think there's a church plant that might be happening down there. What is it that you want, right? And I went back to bed. Shortly after that, I talked to my girlfriend, and she's like, hey, you know what? God has placed in my heart that we really need to go help this church plant in Homestead. I'm like, okay, wow, okay, so I think we need to investigate this. So I investigated, and the person starting that church plant in Homestead happened to be number two. And so I end up saying, yeah, but you know, if you guys are familiar with Homestead, Florida, and the area, I lived in Miami, and that's south of Miami. It was a place that was ravaged by the Hurricane Andrew in the 90s. So it was flattened, it was leveled. There was a lot of farmlands, a lot of devastation, poverty. And there was nothing good. I would always say there's nothing good that comes out of this place. And so eventually, I reluctantly went there, and God spoke to me. There was a verse that the pastor had shared that very first time I went. And it's 1 John chapter 1:46. It says, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. And it just blew my mind. God again spoke to me clearly, loud and clear, and said, you know, you're saying there's nothing good that can come out of here, but Jesus came out of Nazareth, and the same thing people said of that. So come and see. And I did, and I ended up staying there, and we ended up getting married, my wife that you heard from earlier. You know, we have three boys now, and God has tremendously blessed us. We continue to serve God. We're on fire for the Lord, and unexpectedly, we start serving with other church plants. Unexpectedly, God starts putting this as a ministry in our lives. We start helping church plants in the Florida area. Then eventually, it becomes into South America. We start helping up places there, and then through a series of awesome events, God brings us here to the New England area, to Massachusetts. So we end up having more kids here, and we ended up planting roots and continued ministries. And then eventually God says, it's time to go to Canada. There's another church plant. I want you there. And a friend of mine from Florida had moved up there and started a church, and God really called us. And we moved up there, and we went up there. We said, okay, we've done church plants before. We're young, we're healthy, we have all this experience in that. There's these ministries ready to lead that we can just plug right in. I had a business that was going to self-support us. We needed no sponsorships. It was a done deal. It was a no-brainer. I mean, we got this, God. We're going to do it. You're going to do a tremendous work with us over there. And then I get there, and God takes everything we had away. You know, he took our business. We had to close it down for a couple of reasons. My health deteriorated to the point where I was pretty much incapacitated. We were living off our savings. We, you know, pretty much drained all of our savings, and our cars were breaking down. I mean, it was a lot of stuff that was going on, and it was one of the hardest times of my life. It was very difficult. It was hard for my wife, for me, for our kids, but we experienced tremendous joy. And then God leads me to the Bible, where he shows me Philippians 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, right? And he was showing me the always part of that verse. It's like, I can have joy, and I can rejoice in great when I have everything going great and God is blessing my ministries. But am I really going to rejoice in him when God has stripped me and I have nothing left? Am I still going to have joy there? And you know what? It's an awesome time. I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. I got closer to God. And, you know, as I had moved up there, I had said, God, I want to be closer to you. I want to have greater faith, you know. And I didn't know what that meant until I went through this. And so in 1 Peter 1:6, it says, In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He's basically saying, I'm going to refine your faith that you want to be stronger. I'm going to refine it with fire, right? And that's what this verse says. If we want stronger faith in the Lord, he has to refine it with fire. He gives an analogy of our faith is even greater than gold. You know, if you look at gold in its raw state, it's ugly. It's unusable. You can't wear it. It has to be perfected first. And so when a goldsmith grabs a hold of it, he throws it in the fire. And what does he do? He doesn't throw it to destroy. He actually throws it in the fire to remove the impurities, make it beautiful, and mold it into whatever work of art he wants. And so, and in the same way, God was doing that with my faith and with my wife's faith in our lives, and to be fully dependent on Jesus and nothing that we had, regardless of what successes he had given us in the past, he wanted us to still be dependent on him. And so Which leads me to Hebrews 11. You know, I want, what's the definition of faith? I ask, well, really, show me God. And so in Hebrews 11:1, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Basically, this faith, the events that I've shown you guys, is the physical evidence of my faith. Nobody can change those circumstances and those events that I've just shared with you. Those are facts. It's not a belief that I have kind of to believe in. No, this is a physical fact that happened in my life, and that is the evidence of my faith. And then if you continue to read in Hebrews 11, it says all the power that we have through faith and everything that happened and all of our forefathers, how they had this faith and what they were able to do. So Hebrews 11:33 begins, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Through faith, people were resurrected. Through faith, people were saved from enemies, through quenched fire and saved from lions. Through faith, they were able to do all these awesome things, right? But yet I'm over there, I have the same faith. Why am I experiencing all this tragedy and hardship? But then, and that's because a lot of times Christianity is sold to us as it's the fix-all solution. It's a vending machine. Christianity is going to fix every problem you have on this world. And in reality, Christianity is going to solve every eternal problem you have, but not necessarily every earthly problem, right? We live in a broken world. You know, God took me to Genesis 5, which says that we are all created in the image of Adam. Right, and Adam is a sin, brought sin into this world, and we're creating the fallen image of Adam, and so that's why this world is so full of problems and issues. And a lot of times we stop in that verse, but if we continue reading, we find out what other people who had the exact same kind of faith, what happened to them. Hebrews 11:36 says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. So others had trials of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. You know, these people were sawn in half for their faith. They were tortured, they were scourged, they were beaten, they were mocked, you know, and they had the exact same faith as the first half of Hebrews, you know, and why, right? And the reason is Genesis 5, we live in a fallen world. And a lot of times the world asks, and we ask, I used to ask it, is why do bad things happen to good people? What is the answer to that? Some of you may ask that question. You know, I know the world asks it all the time, and they say, I don't believe in God because if he's the God of love, you know, why do all these bad things happen to good people? Well, that question is not biblically based. As I've studied the Bible cover to cover for over the years, God has shown us. And he says, he's shown it there for everybody to read. It says, Romans 3:10, there is no one good, not even one. Right? None of us are good. And so the question needs to be, the right question we need to be asking is, why do good things happen to bad people? Right? Because we all are bad. We all need a savior. That's the reason Jesus came to this planet, so we can be in heaven with a good God, right? Because we're bad, but Jesus can pay for our sins so we can be with him. So fast forward to almost a year ago, God completely healed me. We came back to Massachusetts. I entered some treatment, research and whatnot. It ended up being a really rare form of Lyme disease that was undetected and had gone on for a couple of years, actually. And they were able to treat me, and I was able to be restored. At the same time, God restored everything else as well. He gave us back another business. It restored a lot of financial and material losses that we had. And I was like, I'm so grateful that God, through our faith and perseverance, he did that. But I asked, why? Why me, God? Why did you choose to restore me? Right? And the same thing, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that he restored me so I can continue to share it with you guys and with other people and see that there is joy in the midst of pain and there's joy in the midst of happiness. We can experience both. Whether there's bombs going on around us, we can still have joy, you know? And so I leave you with, you know, if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your heart today, you know, do not leave this place without talking to somebody. There's going to be people up here in the front who can lead you in a prayer to get right with the Lord, who can have a real relationship with Him so you can start reading your Bible. And if you're a Christian and you haven't read your Bible cover to cover, I urge you to start now. It's January. It's the beginning of the year. You can read this Bible in the entire year. Make that your New Year's resolution above any other worldly resolution you may have. You know, it will change your life. It changed my life, and He has empowered me, and He can empower you to do great and marvelous things. Thanks.